It's a little computer tablet. Cannot locate it, so we're back to the most reliable one. Brother Chris warned me the other day, I can't even remember, and said, what happens if you're in the middle of the sermon, your tablet would fail? Well, I'm just going to have to preach from memory, which is always the best. So for a newbie, you know, you kind of need to still write your sermons and all. But just before we get into the message, on behalf of my wife, Cherry, and the girls, just like the Hustlers and just like the Gunthers, and I'm sure just like the Vesleys, we would like to thank you all, church, for your care, for your affection, for your encouraging words, for your Christian love, most of all for your prayers. Oh, we needed your prayers. Especially in my case, since October, every waking moment of my life now is different. It's a joy, it's a burden, it's a blessing to be in the service of the Lord. Thank you for your cards. Thank you for your texts. Thank you for your emails. Thank you for your gifts. I want you to know that we appreciate everything. It means so much to us as a family, and it's just a joy to be on the receiving end. And I want you to hear that directly from me, and I'm sure that's also my wife's desire. So as we begin the new year, we ask and pray that you would continue to be gracious and patient with us for our mistakes thus far, for those times that we have let you down and will continue to let you down perhaps in 2017, unintentionally, of course. Thank you for your grace and your patience for those times that we will not deliver on your expectations. Rightly or wrongly, please be gracious and patient with us as we journey through the ministry. By God's grace, of course, we will try our best to minimize all of these. And with His keeping and guiding us, we want to be better servants for the Lord Jesus Christ and to the body, the church, for which the Lord Jesus Christ gave His life for. So I want you to hear that from me before we get to the message. And from a personal note, I'll try and be a better pastor to you all in 2017. So pray with us for that. We'd like to be more involved, of course, to your lives in 2017, if you would let us. And be a pastor to all of you. Take your Bibles, please, to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. If you're able, would you stand with me, please, as we read verse 1 to verse 5 for now. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, So I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Shall we pray? Father, again, we take a moment to recognize your sovereignty over our lives. Once again, Father, I stand before you and I ask that you would, from on high, equip and enable. Help me, Lord, to do justice to your word this morning. Help me to preach it. Help me to communicate accurately, passionately, what you would have us hear from your word this morning. I pray, dear God, that if there be one in our midst today that don't know the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, I pray that perhaps this first day of the new year, that one would surrender, repent of his sin, accept the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, and therefore would be able to spend eternity with you. And for all of us, Lord, that are have been saved and professing Christians this morning, oh, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. And as we look to you and spend these few moments in your word, we ask that you would be honored, you would be glorified, and we would walk away from this place a little bit better than we were when we came in. We give you praise and thanks for the wonder that you are. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Today being the first Sunday of 2017, and as we usher the new year, I want to speak to us all on the subject of a new beginning. A new beginning. I believe that it is timely and one that should be reminded of all of us again. For those of you who were here 3 years ago or so now, and maybe remembers this message, I've actually preached this message before. I make no apology for that this morning. I want to preach it again. I want to preach it to myself again. And I believe we ought to hear the message again. The beginning of each year comes with mixed thoughts and emotions to different people. I don't know about you. When it comes to times like these, I must confess, a part of me have feelings of regrets. Feelings of regrets. Regrets that in what I have set out to do for the Lord in 2016, I was not able to deliver them all. Regrets that what I have purposed in my heart to do for my Savior last year, I was not able to perform all of them. Those things that I have planned, goals and visions for my Lord and the ministry, they all did not come to fruition. The good intentions, beloved, the goals, the aspirations, the disciplines, and the this and the that, many of them became missed opportunities. Another missed opportunity. But praise God for His grace. Praise God for His mercy. Praise God for His patience and for being the God that encourages and not a God that condemns. I thank Him for His patience. He's a God that doesn't condemn me. He's a God that doesn't condemn you for our failings. If anything, the psalmist told us that when the saints fall, they will not utterly cast down, but the Lord upholdeth them with His hand. Psalm 37. And then the psalmist in 103 Psalms also tells us that the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy, beloved, toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, So far hath he removed our transgressions from us, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, and he remember that we are dust. That's your God, and that's my God. He doesn't condemn, and he's merciful all the way. Anyway, let's get into the real message this morning. Somebody said that in the book of Genesis, Israel was born. In the book of Exodus, Israel was revealed as a chosen nation. In the book of Numbers, that nation was proven. And in the book of Leviticus, it was brought near to God by the blood of animal sacrifices. In Deuteronomy, it was instructed. And now in the book of Joshua, where we are, the nation faces conflicts and conquests. The book of Joshua concludes the wanderings of Israel as a nation, which started in Exodus with Moses, led them out of Egypt, and now after some 40 years, as we know, we find Joshua now leading them into the promised land. A journey that could have taken days. A journey that could have taken days ended up being 40 years. Moses is now dead. Joshua has now been called and commissioned by God to lead his people, the nation of Israel, that in 3 days they are to enter the promised land. In essence, beloved, God was giving them a new beginning. A new beginning. The 40 wasted years in the wilderness is now coming to an end. And in 3 days, God commanded Joshua and his people to enter the promised land. Folks, 2017 is upon us. Like the nation of Israel, God in his mercy is giving us another opportunity. Another opportunity to have a new beginning. Would we embrace it? Would we take the opportunity? Okay? An opportunity to have a new beginning. Let's be like the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, forgetting those things which are behind. Regrets. Failings. Those things that we thought we would like to do last year, let us forget them, but learn from them. Forgetting those things which are behind, those regrets, those missed opportunities, the white might have been, and let us reach forth what is before, and that is the challenge for each and every one of us this morning, this first Sunday of this new year. And so as we look at our text, as always, let us see ourselves in the passage and apply it to our individual lives. Let us see the items that we need to learn in this all 5 verses and more later on. And again, as we sit and ponder upon these things, let's internalize it. Let's apply it into our lives. So the first that I want to bring to our attention this morning is the promise. The promise. Better yet said, the promises from the Lord. So what were the promises by God given to Joshua and the nation of Israel as a whole? First, there was a promise of property. Land. The promise of property. Real estate in our lingo today. The land, the promised land to be exact, in verses 3 and 4. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. Not in my notes this morning, but today And for many, many years, people are still arguing with God. God has already prescribed and given in His Word what the boundaries are and what immensity of land He has given to His people. And yet man, in his rebellion, would question that this morning. The promise of land. 87 times in the book of Joshua. 200 times in Deuteronomy. The promised land was mentioned. The prophet Ezekiel called it the glory of all lands. Daniel called it the pleasant and glorious land. The books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy described it as a land flowing with milk and honey, meaning a land of plenty. God Himself called it a good land. Folks, it was to be Israel's place of rest. It was and is and will forever be the inheritance of Israel. A dwelling place of God for a while. Wow, what a promise. Promise. Now bear in mind, up to this point, they can only have a glimpse of this promised land. They're on the other side of the River Jordan. But they have not possessed it yet at this point. But God has not only promised them the land, He has already given them the land. Every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, it's theirs, beloved. But their enjoyment of it depends upon the claiming and the taking possession of that promise. According to coairs.org, a homeless man supposed to be living on the streets of Santa Cruz de la Sierra, Bolivia, fled from the police who were bringing him news of a $6 million inheritance. He fled. He got scared. Tomas Martinez, 67, apparently thought that the police were about to arrest him for his alcohol and drug habits. The man disappeared without a trace, causing Bolivian newspapers to publish an article of him in July 2000 as a new millionaire, paradoxically not knowing his fortune. The inheritance came to Mr. Martinez from his ex-wife, Ines Gallardo Olivares, who inherited the money herself from family members. The man was nowhere to be found, and therefore has not claimed his inheritance. $6 million of it. Here was a man, beloved, who was a millionaire and did not even know it. An heir to a $6 million of wealth and yet did not claim it, did not lay hold of it, did not possess what was rightfully his. You know, God gave Israel the promised land, but they never fully possessed all of it. In fact, if I had time, I'd like to show you, they claim very little of what was promised to them. Beloved, isn't that true of us many times? In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, if you're a believer here today, the Bible says, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, and yet how many of us lay hold of that promise? As the new year begins, let us realize that there are plenty of God's promises that are ours today. I was sharing this with our Wednesday night crowd last time. By faith, let us possess them. His Word tells us of these promises. I was reading an article, and somebody smart came up with 7,500 promises in the Bible. As I said to the guys last Wednesday, I haven't verified that. But if that is true, let us lay hold of them. Claim them and live it out in our Christian walk. In our Christian walk. In Genesis chapter 28, verse 15, God made the same promise to Jacob. to Gideon in Judges chapter 6 verse 16, to the Jewish remnant from Babylon in Isaiah chapters 41 and 43 verses 10 and 5 respectively. David in 1 Chronicles 28:20, talking to his son Solomon, said, "For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Beloved, why would we want to run away from God? Why would we want to go it alone? Why would we even think that we can live independently of God? He promised not to leave nor forsake us. If you are a believer here this morning, that promise has been fulfilled. You have Christ in your hearts and in your bodies. He indwells in you in the Holy Spirit. He never leaves you, nor forsake you. Why would you run away from Him? The Holy Spirit dwells in us and seals us until the day of redemption, the Bible says. The Holy Spirit who abides and dwells in us, the one who guides us into all truth, that if we allow Him to have not just presence, not just prominence, but preeminence even in our lives, He never leaves us and forsakes us. Our lives will be transformed, beloved, if we make the Lord Jesus Christ preeminent in our lives. It will allow us to demonstrate spiritual fruit of love, of joy, of peace, of long-suffering, of gentleness, of meekness, faith, temperance in our character. And as a consequence, we would be more Christ-like in the way we live. Isn't that your desire in 2017? To be more Christ-like? Isn't that our desire individually and collectively as a church? To be more Christ-like in 2017? If that's not your desire, it should be. To be more like Christ in 2017. My desire for all of us as a collective body of believers is that we would desire to be more Christ-like this year. I do not desire for us to be a mega church. I do not desire for us to have plenty of money in the bank. I do not desire for us to have a fantastic, good-looking building. My desire for us is to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ in 2017 and beyond until He comes again. That's our desire. God has promised. Let us now look at the preparation. Preparation for what? Preparation for God's people Israel. Up to this point, beloved, all that Joshua had is a promise from God. But unlike men, God never missed His promises. He always delivers on His promises. Deuteronomy 7 tells us that He keepeth His covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. Numbers chapter 23 verse 19, God is not a man that He should lie. And then in Hebrews 10 tells us that He is faithful that promised. Warren Wiersbe said that God commissioned Joshua to achieve three things. Number one, lead the people into the promised land. Number two, defeat the enemy. Number three, claim the inheritance. Now for Joshua to accomplish this task, if Brother Warren is right, God needs to prepare him, that means Joshua himself, and the people that will come and cross the Jordan River with him. There is a lesson here for all of us. When God asks His servant to do something for Him, He promises not to leave him nor forsake him. But more than that, he prepares his servant for the task. He prepares his servant for the task. Folks, this tells me that doing the work of the ministry requires preparation. Not just preparation, but diligent preparation. There is a right way and wrong way of doing God's bidding. There is a right way and wrong way of doing God's bidding. They're not one and the same just because we label it as doing God's bidding. I'll take a risk here. It might be in our culture and our psyche as Australians, this should be right attitude. Not in God's Word. Beloved, we cannot just wing it and hope for the best. We got to do God's business the right way. The right way. And we don't just rock up and turn up to things and expect that God would bless us for winging things. There is a right way and a wrong way of doing God's bidding. I often remind myself that when it comes to the ministry, I'm not dealing with chicken, burgers and chips where I used to be. This is not a training session every time that I come up here on this platform. I don't present a financial plan. I don't encourage you to be in the franchising business. I don't want to gloss over the numbers and present it differently. No, I'm dealing with people's lives. And every waking moment of my life now is both a burden and a blessing because of that. Because one day, beloved, I will stand before my Savior and account. And so 2017 is pretty raw in me, as you can probably imagine. And I want to do the best that I can for the Savior. And I want us to do the best that we can for the Savior. And that is our challenge for this year. And hold on to it until December of 2017 and see us stop there. By God's grace, that we will be what we ought to be for Him. Where and what I do with what is committed to my trust, I will account for the judgment seat of Christ. There are three items I want us to look at as to this preparation. First is courage. Look at verse 6 with me. Be strong and of a good courage. Verse 7. Only be strong and be very courageous. Folks, if we are to have a new beginning in 2017, individually and corporately as a church, we need to be strong. We need to have courage. Psalm 31, verse 24, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Isaiah 43, verse 1, speaking of Israel, fear not, I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. And then, of course, how could we forget Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So, beloved, as we set our heads and our hearts this new year, we will need to be strong. We will need to be courageous in the issues of life. Issues of health. Issues of finance. Issues of relationships. And the list could go on. The ongoing barrage from men and women out there who are becoming more and more aggressive of their ideologies, which not only advocate hatred, violence, but also advocate of worship of another God in a small g, rather than the true God Himself. Now more than ever, beloved, we need to stand firm and proclaim the true God. of the Bible. We need to be strong and courageous to contend for the faith. In the days that we're living now and in the future, it's not going to be easy. There will be more people that will challenge our faith. And we need to be courageous. Secondly, we need to be committed. Committed. Committed to what? Committed to God's Word, beloved. God's Word. Look with me in verse 8. The book, this book of the law, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Here again is that principle that we should try to live by and encourage each one of us. That principle of knowing, a principle of being, and that principle of doing. The know, be, and do. You cannot be what you need to be before the Lord if you don't know His Word. The fact of the matter is, you can pick up bits and pieces through the preaching and through Sunday school and all of that. But beloved, that's not enough to feed your soul. You have to study and dig deep for yourself. Be like the Bereans, that you would verify that what pastor is teaching you is actually from the Word of God. You need to know. You need to know. I cannot meet with you every waking moment of each day and teach you. Pastor's been with us for these 29 years and he tried. It's very hard to teach us. We have Sunday school programs, we have youth, we have young adults, we have all sorts of things trying to teach, trying to impart knowledge. But you need to pick it up yourself. You need to grab this book and meditate upon it day and night. We can't do that for you all the time. That principle of knowing God's Word so that we can be what the Word of God wants us to be and being what we ought to be, then we can do the right way. Do the right service for God and for His glory. Notice what it says by way of preparation in their context. It's the law. But in our context, it's the complete canon of scriptures which we have in our hands. I was setting up my office these last few days. And by the way, it's a bomb like that. Like they don't go into my office. It's very embarrassing. But anyway, I'm piling through these books and checking things and all of that. And beloved, I've realized how many Bibles I've got. I was just in the Philippines. Many don't have Bibles. I have brand new Bibles still in the box. And so I asked myself, Malari, are you actually reading enough of your Word? When people don't even have Bibles, I have 4, 5, 6 of these Bibles. Beloved, we need to get into the book. Well, Chris sends us emails and texts, and there's always somewhere at the bottom there, stay in the book. What a good advice. We should not depart from it. We should meditate from it. I believe in that our speech, the way we talk, the way we communicate, we ought to incorporate the Word of God. Those idle words, those babblings, those murmurings, those times where we allow our unruly tongues to get the better of us, those times that we are quick to speak and slow to hear, those times that the issues in our hearts actually get spoken from our mouths because they're not right. Secondly, we are to meditate at the Word of God day and night. This is not the quick 5-minute token devotion, beloved. This is not the tick box exercise, I've done my reading for the day. Now, folks, this is honest to goodness setting up a time just for Bible reading, study, and prayer. There's just no other way but to have the discipline to meditate, to soak it in, to really think it through what the passage of Scripture is telling us. And then, of course, prayer. There's just no other way. We need to immerse ourselves in the Word of God in 2017. Thirdly, in their preparation and by application to us as well, we are to observe, to do according to all that is written therein. Notice it didn't say what we choose. It says all that is written therein. We can't just choose what we like out of the Word of God, beloved. The Bible is not a buffet where you can pick and choose which one you want to eat. You eat it all and you taste the goodness of the Lord. It is sweeter than the honeycomb, the psalmist says. You eat it all. You can't choose what you want. We are to observe, to do according to all that is written therein. Now, there are hard sayings in the Bible, and you may not like it, but it's the Word of God. And that works vice versa, you know. People that are standing here, there are some topics that is hard to preach, but we have to preach it nevertheless. Because this is the Word of God. For example, Matthew 5, verse 44, the Bible says we ought to love our enemies. Bless them that curse us. Do good to them that hate us. And don't miss this one. Pray for those who despitefully use and persecute us. Confession time, and I'm a pastor, that doesn't come easy to me. But it is Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. My feeling and regard for that verse doesn't change the fact. You know, it may not be easy for me, my non-observance and disobedience to this direct command of the Lord Jesus Christ is no excuse. Hard saying, but it's there for us to follow. Now, why are we not to depart from the book, the Bible? Why is it so important to meditate on it day and night? Why must we observe to do according to all that is written therein? You know why? Because it says there as well, verse 8, God wants to bless us and make our way prosperous and have good success. That's the promise. That's the reason. Again, beloved, if we are to have a new beginning, if we want to be prosperous, not just financially, but more so spiritually, if we want to have good success individually and collectively as a church in 2017, we ought to stay in the book. Meditate. Soak upon it. And I'll turn your Bibles now to Joshua chapter 3. In Joshua chapter 3, I want us to look at something here, please. In chapter 1, he told the officers to tell the people that in 3 days they will be crossing the Jordan River. And in chapter 2, he sent the spies to Jericho and instructed them to come back to him and give him a report. Very similar to what his leader, his pastor, if you like, before him, Moses, what he did. It was actually him and Caleb and the rest of the men to do the spying at that time. Now that 3 days in chapter 3 is now upon them. Okay, they are to be courageous. They are to be committed to the Word of God. And thirdly, they are to be consecrated. They are to sanctify themselves for tomorrow. The Lord will do wonders among them. What's the language of the Scripture there? Folks, if we want God to do wonders amongst us, in our midst, in this year, just like Israel, perhaps we need to do some consecrating, some sanctifying, some separating. I don't know your hearts. God does. I don't live with you 24/7. The Holy Spirit does. I'm not able to listen to your conversations, what comes out of your mouth. God does. I'm not privy to what your eyes see and what you allow it to see. God does. I don't live with you to witness how you conduct yourself throughout the week. The Holy Spirit does. By crossing the River Jordan, beloved, and in essence conquering the land, they will be facing their enemies, correct? Canaanites. They will go into battle and fight for their land. Their land of promise. Their inheritance. But did you notice that Joshua did not command them to prepare their swords and shields? Did you notice nothing was mentioned there about preparing the physical? What he asked them to do is to consecrate themselves. Separate themselves. Beloved, in 2017, you and I will face some battles of our society and in our time. And oh, we can come up with polish programs, and I can plan and visualize it and put some glossy things and present to you. But if that is all that we will do as a church, we will fail. And so I'm telling myself, by God's grace, that I need to consecrate and separate myself. And as I do that, I encourage you all of us, to consecrate ourselves, beloved. To separate ourselves from the things of this world. To be not conformed to this world, but be renewed and transformed. That's our burden for this year. Don't just be particular on the physical, but more on the spiritual. And this is odd because Joshua himself is a warrior. He is Moses' general. You would think that if he's thinking of a battle, that's the first thing that would come to his mind. But you know, he's no longer number two. He's now number one. And the things that mattered to him before has changed. Perspective has changed. More of the spiritual now rather than the physical. He did not ask them to prepare and sanctify the physical, but rather the spiritual. Consecration of the heart. If these battles are to be won, it will have to be fought and won not by swords and shields, by the sanctification of our hearts. That's how we're going to win our battles this year. So as we wrestle, no doubt, this year, not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and powers, what sanctification? What consecration, beloved, that you and I need to do so that God would do wonders among us? Dads, and I'm talking to myself here, how are we going to spiritually lead our wife? How are we going to spiritually lead our wife and our homes this year, dads? Moms, how do you plan to mutually submit to your husband and keep your home this year? Young people, how would you obey and honor your parents this year more than perhaps you ever did in the years gone by? To all of us, how are we going to sanctify and separate ourselves from the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life in 2017. Sanctify yourselves for tomorrow. The Lord will do wonders among you. We've looked at the promises. We've looked at the preparation for the land. And lastly, as I close, so let's draw our attention to the possession of the land. Chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people. And as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of the harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. They made it to the banks of the river, beloved. The priests are bearing the ark. The Jordan River is before them. They can see the promised land. There's one problem. The river was flooded. It overflowed because commentators were saying that at this time, this is barley harvest, some of them believe that at this particular time, the Jordan River could swell from 4.8 to 6.1 meters above the flood stage caused by the melting of the snows from Mount Hermon. That's the theory. Picture this in your mind. The promised land is on the other side of the river. To get to it, they will have to cross the strong currents of the River Jordan. I've been blessed to travel to go and see Niagara Falls. And the tour bus, they'll take you to this place where you can see a good vista of the actual falls. But on the way there, you go to a road that kind of descends. And on my left, I could see these strong rapids of water, body of water. And I couldn't help but think of that experience as I'm looking into the. There is no way that any mortal could pass that raging rapids and be safe. And in this case, I see an analogy, I see a similarity of my Niagara Falls experience. Well, we know what happened to this story. They were able to cross, not because of their might or the strength of their legs, but because God made it so. Just like in the days of their forefathers, God divided the waters so that they made it to the other end. But I want you to pay attention with me at verse 13. Verse 13, it says, "And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord, and the Lord of all the earth shall rest in waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that came down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap." Okay? The waters will stand upon a heap. Now, there's a difference between the time of Moses and the time of Joshua. Okay. At the Red Sea crossing, Moses dipped the rod and the waters parted. In the Jordan River experience, beloved, the priest will dip the soles of their feet. It wasn't an object, it was them. That's a good lesson for us. There's a good lesson for us to learn here. This time around, the priests have to dip not the rod, but their very own feet into the water before it parts. Okay? Simply, before God would do wonders among them, and before God would do wonders amongst us in 2017, as they claim their inheritance, their promised land, and as we claim our promises from the Lord, and as we have victory over this year in 2017, we need to dip the soles of our feet. Would that be us this year, beloved? Would we take that step of faith, young and old, rich and poor, black and white, would respect that step of faith in the Lord. Let's not bargain or negotiate with God and kind of say that, God, if you would do this, I will serve you. No, beloved. I will serve you no matter what you do. You and I do not have a bargaining chip with God. We are His creation. We have been redeemed and bought with a price, and we are to serve the most holy and righteous God, and we have no business bargaining with God. Believe me, I tried it before, and I lost all the time. Let's not bargain with God. When the time comes that we have to face our enemies, our own Canaanites, when we will be put to the test this year to cross our overflowing rivers of Jordan and the flooded river of our lives, we need to put our faith and trust in the God that we know. And when we do, He will do some wondrous works among us. Oh, I look forward to that. Oh, I pray for that. For however time, how much longer we have, I want to see the wondrous work of God in our midst. You know, they normally don't come in big packages. They come and change lives on people. And I long for that. I look for that. And so in closing, we have an opportunity to have a new beginning in 2017. What are we going to do about it? Are we going to embrace the new opportunity? Or are we going to disregard it? Perhaps as we have done in the past. And the year before that. And the year before that. Years roll on, beloved. And may 2017 be the year that we would really consecrate ourselves for God. In closing, if you're here and you're not a believer, you don't really know this Lord Jesus Christ as we call Him Lord, perhaps you have an intellectual understanding of who Jesus is. Beloved, there is one promise that you can claim today. The promise that you can come to Him and He will never cast you out. And you may be looking and you may be searching all your life for the true God, the true faith, not the religion that you have been accustomed to, but a relationship in the God of the Bible, Jesus Christ. Oh, let me encourage you. Let me plead with you, as I often say. If that is you, if you have a spiritual need today, don't let the service just be over. Speak to us. Let that need be known. And we'd be most glad to tell you and introduce you to the God of the Bible, Jesus Christ. With that, I want to wish you a blessed and a happy, consecrated, laboring together, having opportunities to glorify the Savior in 2017. Let's pray. My Father, our Father, we thank You. Oh God, you're rich, you are. Your word is rich. We have many, many things that we can notice in Your word, and we cannot fully exhaust it. Father, we have been told, we have been challenged from Your word this morning. May we not be neglectful of it, that we would indeed meditate, soak upon it, and Lord, apply it into our lives. Help us, protect us from the enemy quickly snatching it away from our hearts this morning. We give You praise and thanks for the wonder that You are. And if there's one here this morning that needed to be saved, to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, may that one identify himself and let us minister to him. in your will. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. May I request Fiona to come.